Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Rangers get at it tonight. Will Warren on the mound for the New York Yankees. And you will have Nathan Eovaldi, the July Pitcher of the Month for the American League, on the hill for the Rangers out there. And here's something I need out of y'all. I need Rangers fans to cover up the Yankees fans tonight. Did you hear last night? By the way, Paul Goldschmidt, whatever, bro, he crushed that one. He looked like he knew that pitch, too.
Hey.
That one, it hit off the wall at the second level. And I was like, oh, but you heard the Yankees fans erupt in that stadium. And I know there were some comments about it last night as well. I need Rangers fans louder. And that's not me saying y'all weren't good last night. I'm just saying I want more. And I don't think there's a problem with wanting more out of you guys, because
you got loud with that Jock Peterson hit.
If we want to make that run, if we want to go to that next place, we all got to invest in this thing now. So Rangers fans, they gave you a reason last night. Give them a reason tonight. That's all I'm asking out of you. But that's the, and that does come down to this question that I'm asking, and that is,
yes,
do you believe that this team will figure it out? Have you already made your mind up of what this team is? Do you think last night was a turning point? Last night I was texting back and forth with somebody from the Rangers front office. And
nice
my
pull there.
My com-
there.
We were kind of talking about Corey Seager, and I like Seager had a couple moments last night where he's swinging at low pitches, yeah, and I was like, that's not him. And then there was a curveball that Fried threw at him that he just looked foolish on. And the person was like, that's not like Seager does. It's very rare, yeah, that he looks that way. And I said, he's going to find it. They're all going to find it at just the right time. I believe it. And yeah, I do. And then guess what? Josh Jung shoves it in my face from yesterday's tease about the discussion. And like Jock that. Peterson shoves it in all of our faces, based on yesterday's discussion. And everybody's kind of boiling pot point with him.
I'm not going to allow him to shove it in my face just yet.
All right.
Because it's one game. Okay. Now, you do this. If you become a viable member of the lineup, then you can shove it in all the faces you want.
Every face.
Okay. All the faces get the Jock Peterson treatment at that point. So, I mean, look, you're in it to win it right now, right? You're in the throes of a wild card run. You're in the throes of a divisional run. Now, again, the wild card aspect of it is far more attainable right now, and you're definitely much more in the hunt of that than you are the AL wild card. But again, this is an Astros team that, you know, a month ago looked like the best team in baseball.
Right.
Swept the Dodgers in LA and put a belt to butt doing it. Since then, they've looked quite mortal. In fact, I want to say they're 2-8 or something like that in their last 10 games. So, you know, and again, you're this Rangers team who, oh, by the way, doesn't have to play the Seattle Mariners anymore. Which, again, if you face them, hey, if you face them in the playoffs, that's a conversation we can have come September, early October. We'll live with that. But no, I am sold on this Texas Rangers team. I do want to – Corey Seager's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Corey Seager. I would like to see Jake Berger get back in the lineup sooner rather than later, because, again, if this tandem of Jake Berger and Jock Peterson is going to be kind of – and Rowdy Tellez, God bless him. But, I mean, there's a reason why he's been on 4 different teams in 8 years.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Brisket Sandoz notwithstanding, this is kind of who he is. One home run every, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? All right, you'll live with that. Unfortunately, if you have to live with that, then you're in a different conversation. But I have faith in Adolis. I have faith in Semien. I have faith in Seager. But the Youngs, the Himes, and the Peterson slash Burgers of the world are going to be what determines whether or not this team makes a deep playoff run or gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's where I think, because somebody said they believe, but 2 through 4 has to wake up.
Yes. No, I don't disagree. I mean, you'd like to see them because they were hot. I mean, Semien was money in June.
And last night, 0-for-5 for Seager.
Yeah.
The only reason he scored the run, because he has one run on his, he was the ghost runner.
Yeah.
Or the zombie runner on second base in the 10th inning last night. 0-for-5 from Semien, 0-for-5 from Garcia. What you got last night was you got output from Wyatt Langford, Josh Jung, Ezekiel Duran. Mm-hmm. Now, Jock Peterson obviously had the home run that mattered so much, because you can't get to the 10th inning without that.
Him.
And, man, by the way, For me, there's a little bit of Babe Ruth in his swing. It looks like he just swings it from his belly button and just kind of, and that's how, like, I don't know.
It's Herculean praise by you.
Is it, I'm not saying he's Babe Ruth.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
I'm just
like to
saying,
me.
If you ever watched Babe Ruth swing,
yeah.
because of what the way his body was built, he had to swing a certain way, and there's a little bit of that to it. That's what I'm saying. And it, he crushed it.
He did.
But last night,
he really did.
You got from 5, 6, 7, and 9 was where you got your most work last night. And actually 5, 6, and 9, Josh Smith did a little bit. Jonah Heim did a little bit. Those little dinkers that get through, those little hard hit ground balls that get through, those are just as good as a line shot single out into the outfield. Something that gets a runner on, something that gets a runner over. And that's where the Rangers have been struggling so much most of the season, but they're finding those moments where they can get runners on, move them over. You just, if your other three in the middle of the heart of your order are doing damage, then these guys, they can add to it. And then you're getting what you were asking for, Fred. Then you're getting those double-digit blowouts that really make you feel confident walking around crotch first.
But don't you agree, though? This is the difference with this Rangers team in the first week of August versus the last week of May or first week of June, where if Corey Seager, Adolis, and Semien went 0 for 15 in late May, early June, that's an L.
Mm-hmm.
That's an L all day, every day.
Yeah.
Whereas now you are getting, because that's the thing about baseball, and I, you know, that's one thing I always say about, you know, when you want a team that, like, you know, me being a Jayhawk, if a team's gonna make a run in the tournament in March, you got to have a third and fourth guy. On nights when your 1A and 1B alpha dogs are shooting 2 for 12 that night, who's that third and fourth guy that comes out of nowhere and gives you 15 and puts you over the top, right? Like, every championship team has that one or two guys that come out of nowhere and score.
And Josh Young has to be that guy.
Jock Peterson had to be that guy, right? To your point. Ezekiel Duran had to be that guy last night. Kyle Higashioka has been that guy several different times in the bottom half of the order, right? Yep. So you need to have consistency. Again, when the Astros took care of the Dodgers a few weeks ago, there was one game where, you know, their 1 through 5 guys, I think, went like 2 for 12, 2 for 13 or something crazy like that in the first three innings. But yet your you know, 6 through 9 guys, you know, were like 6 of 7 or something crazy like that and had 2 home runs. So that's what it takes offensively if you're going to have a team that's going to make a run come September, October.
There was a couple moments last night. Patrick Corbin had to walk Giancarlo Stanton, formerly Mike Stanton, because
he can't walk, right?
He got runners on. Yeah, he can't walk. Is that what the deal is? His body's broken down, man. I don't know exactly.
That fell off
just
quick.
Muscles don't, you know. But last night they had to intentionally walk it, and they were able to get out of situations because you don't want to pitch to that guy, honestly. Like,
he can still hit.
You saw what he did. He had a line drive that was maybe 30 feet off the ground, dead center.
He can't run, but he can hit.
And so last night there was a lot. Like, Yankees fans today are losing their damn minds because you walked a guy to get to the guy that hit the home run on you last night.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, they did the right thing last night. You put yourself in a situation where you can have a force out at any bag. Wyatt Langford was already 2 for 3 at that point in the night. He was getting on. He had a double. He's doing the things that Wyatt Langford, we expect him to do. And the Yankees were like, we got a runner on second. I know Corey Seager isn't going to score from second. I know that's not going to happen unless it's deepest or a home run. Unless it's the deepest part of the outfield and it rolls around, he's not pushing it.
No.
But when you put him on, now again, you have force outs, and then Josh Young gets the pitch. He worked the pitcher over for that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, and you saw that last night. Jock Peterson worked the pitcher over for the pitch that he got that he hit out.
Yeah.
And that was what the impatience of Rangers hitters early in the season was. I'm going up there. I'm a Ranger. I crush.
Yeah.
Every pitch I hit should go out. And now you're starting to see these guys really work pitchers and put themselves in a good position for a play like that. Josh Young's big problem early was he was impatient.
Yeah.
Then when Brett Boone got here, and somebody suggested, by the way, Fred, stop going back to June 7th. Is it June or July?
No, June 7th is the date that people keep throwing out.
Go back to the day that Brett Boone was brought on. And I don't remember exactly what David
I'm just telling you what MLB is saying. I'm giving you an opportunity
to change it and to twist it and to say, hey, since then.
I'm just telling you, because I heard Choppy say this on the morning show, that since June 7th, the Rangers had the number one offense in baseball.
Yeah. No, and it's...
And look, it's not... I mean, it's a great stat.
Yeah, I love it too. But I love knowing that.
I just laugh because it's such an arbitrary date.
And so, again...
Game 2 of that National Series.
But when Brett Boone got here, Josh Jung was one of the first people. And you go back to Evan Grant wrote a story on it. Jared talked about it. When Josh Jung does it, other players do it too.
Yeah.
Because they see this guy who's been an impatient swinger anyway is taking his time, working a pitcher over, getting lots of pitches out of the guy until, hey, I'm going to foul the ball off as many times as I can until you give me the one that I can put over the fence. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened last night. And honestly, go back to the World Series season. Rangers did that too. That Adolis walk-off to win in the World Series. What he did against the Astros. He worked pitchers over until he finally got the one that he said, okay, now I can rock this. And so that's what this team has to get back to, the discipline that it takes to be that kind of hitting team. And when they do...
Which they've done against everybody against except Seattle.
Because of their pitching... They're going to be dangerous.
I agree.
And so if I'm asking today, 877-881-1053, do you believe in this team? Eovaldi's the reason I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe that, I call him a bulldog. Colby Lewis was a bulldog. Yeah. I'm going to give you innings. I'm fighting for everything. I'm scrapping for everything. Jacob DeGrom's the Lamborghini. Nathan Eovaldi is your platinum Chevrolet pickup truck.
There you go.
All right. He's the one that's out there giving you tough innings. He's battling for you. You know that everybody can pile into the back of that truck and take off with him. And so because he's on this team, that's why I still believe. And tonight, I think we're going to get another episode of that.
I believe because of Bochy. I believe because of Bruce Bochy. Again, every other year, he's shown it time and time again. This is what he does. He wins World Series, and he just knows. You talked about it in the first hour of the program. He just knows how to relate to players. He knows how to push buttons, and not in a negative way, but where to put people. And I know a lot of people were complaining, why is Jock Peterson in the fifth hole, this, that, and the other? The bottom line is this. While Jock Peterson, and yes, I'm sure all the fans can ask all the questions in the world, why is he pitching, or why is he in the fifth hole in the lineup? In Bochy, we trust. Mm-hmm. All right. Because guys are not questioning. They understand the method to Bochy's madness. Bochy is going to give you the opportunity to get out of your funk. And if you don't get out of your funk, you can't walk away saying to yourself, well, look, I was just starting to get into a rhythm and then he yanked me out. No. He's going to give you a shot, and you saw it. And guess what? You saw it pay off last night.
From the 972, Haggerty, Higgy, Duran starting to hit like we need them to. From the 945, still wildly shocked we're this far above 500 when most of the season we were on the cusp of giving up on the season for months. That's from Bailey the Bird. From the 214, in August, the time for a turnaround has passed. This Rangers team is what it is at this point. We can get 100% get excited about nights like last night, but don't let them fool you. And then from the 682, I never saw Babe Ruth because I didn't have Victory Plus back then.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and there's not a confirmation that if you have Victory Plus, it's going to be beneficial. Although I do have a strategy for you, Fred.
It was good last night.
Unplug your TV for 2 minutes.
I've heard
let it
that.
Hard boot, and then get the refresher going.
The TV
right
or
there.
The router?
The TV. Let the TV hard boot, hard reboot. That's what I've done this before. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to work, but sometimes you just it's a smart TV.
Yeah,
it's like your computer. It's got some cache going on. It's got some stuff built up. You just need to refresh it. So,
I mean, it's funny. It doesn't do that for any of my other apps, though.
Just saying. From the 817, unfortunately, I do not believe in this team. The offense too inconsistent. They've shown what they are, unfortunately. And then from the 254, absolutely, I believe that we have a nasty lineup with most dangerous pitching staff. They look like they're returning to fundamental baseball again. And that's, hey, man, I love it. We're split right now. Yeah. Hopefully by the end of the season, we'll all be together on this. And hopefully tonight, Rangers fans will be lighting that place up. And Yankees fans will be like, why did we even show up in here? Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for Fair or Foul with Fred Davis. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get into Fair or Foul in just a minute. Also, What was the biggest dream moment of your sports career? We'll get to that coming up in about 20 minutes here. But before we do, Thursday, that is this Thursday, Jake 7910 State Highway 78 in Sachse. That is your first opportunity to join Fan Phenom. Get your chance to stand in front of the boss, deliver your takes. But I don't think it's just takes. I think it's personality. Show all the things that you got. Be you. Don't try to be somebody that you're not. Boss is going to see right through that. I'll tell you this. Grego once told me, he said, Corey, if you aren't authentic, the audience will see right through it.
No, 100%.
If you aren't who you are, the audience is going to know it and they'll never trust you again. And that was a really good piece of advice from him, and I always appreciated that one. So if you're going to do this Fan Phenom this Thursday, 7910 State Highway 78 in Sachse, then you need to be you. And also, we'll be out at Jake's off of Marsh Lane and Walnut Hill on Friday. Myself and Fred will be out there partying with you, so come out there, have some good burgers and drinks as well. But right now, it's time to do some Fair or Foul featuring superstar Fred Davis.
I appreciate that, Mr. Corey Majors. You guys know what that music means. It's time for a little Fair or Foul. I am going to read a story and or tell a personal vignette, and we will decide whether or not it is fair or foul. We're going to do a little audio edition. Audio from Corey Majors' all-time favorite sports radio host. Yes, that's right, Mr. Colin Cowherd. Now, have you shared that story on air?
It's been a while.
Okay.
I was during the Super Bowl that was here in Dallas, I was a showrunner for SB Nation and Colin Cowherd's show. They hired a bunch of freelancers to do stuff, and I just graduated. And I'm in there, and he has Tony Romo coming on the show. The director, producer tells me, I need you to get a sound check from, pull his microphone down in front of his mouth. And I go over and I'm like, Tony, can we pull that down? He's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. He does it. Immediately takes the headset and puts it back up. Microphone's gone. They said, we didn't get the sound. Can you go back and get one more? Mm. Can you please get the sound check? I said, yeah, sure, sure. I step in. I say, Tony, can we get this right here? And Colin,
Cowherd.
Goes, like, we're not going to get an effing sound check from Tony effing Romo. We're going to be effing fine. Mm. At which point, I was like, I'm just trying to do my job, you a-hole.
Yeah.
And I've never liked him since then. Mm. That was a bad experience.
I get it.
And I didn't appreciate it. And
nor should you have.
And so that was that. So I've always felt that way. Whenever I hear Colin Cowherd, I'm just like, eh. He might have the best take in the world.
So this is going to be foul from Corey no matter what
probably
he says.
So.
Unless he says Corey Majors is the greatest broadcaster of all time.
Yes.
Which, look, I would have sent that audio to you ahead of time and let you know that. But because I didn't, you know that that's not what he's going to say here. So this is Colin Cowherd. And look, Colin Cowherd's at that age. He doesn't care what he says anymore. He'll say inflammatory stuff. And I'm not convinced that he believes half of what he says anymore. All right? That said, this was Colin Cowherd on his show yesterday talking about our very own Brian Schottenheimer and the way he wears his visor.
You know, I don't like backward hats. Mm. What's worse is a backward visor. That's a two-win team. I'm taking away four wins. So when you sit in front of a podium, you're representing the Cowboys, you're representing Bank of America, you're representing a $12 billion corporation. I think you got to do better as a head coach than a visor backwards. There's a reason that country clubs and private clubs, you have to wear collared shirts and jackets. There's a reason for that.
Why?
Like, there's a standard. I don't want to look like a guy that's here to move my couch. Like, I want you to do better than that. That's awful. That is so bad.
Okay. As somebody who wears his hat backwards from time to time, I have zero issue with this. And there's a time and a place.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number one, when it comes to when you go with the hat backwards. All right. And one of the things that we've loved, first of all, I'm a Brian Schottenheimer guy, so that obviously bias involved there.
This is true.
And I've made it clear since the Cowboys hired Brian Schottenheimer.
I like the guy.
He has grown on me.
I like him a lot.
All right. I had questions about him as an offensive coordinator, and I still do. I think we're all...
We haven't seen a game yet.
We have not seen a game yet, and let's be real. It's not like we knew... You know, it wasn't like he was a innovative offensive mind as an offensive coordinator. All right. I mean, that much is fair, and I think there's a lot to be said about what will this offense look like. Yes, is he great at all the other stuff? Is he great at the team building and the camaraderie and the culture and da 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 da? Sure. Bringing it back to the backwards hat. Shoddy is about as genuine as the day is long. Like, there's nothing that we've seen from him. You guys were in Oxnard. Mm-hmm. You've talked to him. Yep. All right. And I'll tell you what, one thing, and I'm a big believer in, you know, the old saying, success leaves clues.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think being genuine leaves clues. All right. Little things that you're going to do that suggest, okay, this guy's real. When you guys asked him to draw up his favorite play.
Yeah.
And he drew up that play when they scored a touchdown when he was with the Jets, and he said, this was one of my dad's plays, and we won the game as a result of that.
Uh-huh. Okay? And he was petty because it was the team it was against. I love that too.
Right? And but the thing was, he grabbed the, you know, he grabbed it, he did it, you know, he drew the play up for you guys real quick, and he went from being interview mode to, you got to see, like, this was real. We all got to see a peek behind the curtain of, oh, this is the real Brian Schottenheimer. Yep. Right here. Yep. Okay, like, this is real football 101 here. That said, when he's got his visor on backwards, like, you're coaching, man. Like, you're in the throes of it. And again, this is not, it's one thing if it's Bill Belichick. It's one thing if it, and even if it's Pete Carroll, I don't think anybody would care. But again, you look at who's doing it. I don't think there's anything disingenuous about when he wears his visor backwards. Now, game day, when you need to be suited and booted,
mm-hmm.
I need to see you ready to go. I need to see your hat forward, okay? Like, I need to see you locked in. That's not the there's something to be said about when you roll your sleeves up and it's time to go on practice Monday through Friday when we're getting after it, mm-hmm. versus, okay, it's game day, let's look, you look good, you play good type deal.
Yeah, you might roll the sleeves up in fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, that's a possibility.
Okay, but and he's got to kind of cock to the side a little bit because he's getting knee deep in some stuff. And that's one thing. All right, but Shoddy getting after it, rocking the hat, the visor backwards, I think what am I trying to say here? Is in cahoots or speaks to what this guy is and how he's gone about handling his business. I say it's fair. I think it's going to be just fine. And if anything, I just think it's really more so shows it and goes along with who this guy actually is.
Yeah, There's a lot of different things to discuss here.
Sure.
Because you're seeing a split audience right now on the fan text.
Oh, I bet.
On no grown man should be wearing his hat backwards. You look like a straight up dumbass.
Your boy Kevin called me out the first day I did a show with him.
For wearing your hat backwards?
You've got your hat on backwards.
Kevin wore his hat backwards. He wore his hat backwards like his whole life.
I told him he looked like Big Pun.
Now he doesn't wear a hat anymore. But that's a different thing. He also doesn't wear shorts.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear shorts unless he's on a boat. Crazy. He has weird standards. That's Kevin crazy. Does, but his eccentricities are the reason.
That's
we
what
love
we love him.
Him.
That's what we love about him.
We started wearing our hat backwards. Griffey was the reason that became popular.
Because I would he was say wearing that in it. Rap music.
That's definitely a good reason as well. I wore it like that because my hair was messed up and I needed to have something cover my head,
yeah.
But I didn't necessarily need a brim. And so I turned it around. Like, and Griffey. I am never been a visor person. All right.
I'm not a visor guy at all.
Visors, I feel, are golf.
Or Steve Spurrier.
And it really, I don't think you get the same effect when you take your visor off and throw it down at the ground as you do a hat. I don't know why. I just don't think it hits the same way. But I've never been a visor guy. So I don't understand the flipping the visor behind and turning it around. I've never really understood it.
Yeah.
But I have no problem with it. People got ticked off because Tony Romo wore his hat backwards. I guess he never won a Super Bowl, so obviously that's the reason, because he was wearing his hat backwards the whole time. This is generational.
It is.
It is demographical, I think, as well.
Yes.
I don't know if it's socioeconomic, because I don't know exactly where that's.
I think that you could definitely throw that in the mix.
But it definitely is demographical, because there are people that are very, you know, dug in on, this is how I believe something should be.
Yeah.
And there are other people that are like, everything's fine.
It's fine.
And when it comes to standards at golf courses, they're pretentious and stuck up. All right, that's how I've always felt.
This ain't a golf course.
I'd rather play at a Muni anyway, a city golf course where I can have fun with my friends and drink out of a Dixie cup. That's how I've always enjoyed life that way. And I'm perfectly fine with
Tiger. Tiger Woods wore his hat backwards sometimes on the course. So you know what? How'd that work out for him?
Somebody said Fred Durst wears his hat backwards so he can reverse and get his truck pulled into a parking spot. I'm learning about this.
It's a fatty right there. It's a fatty.
My hat's backwards right now. Absolutely. I turned it around intentionally. Obviously, let me turn it back around so I can.
But you can pull it off either way.
And you know what? I wear, if it's a fitted hat backwards or a snapback, I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't care at all. And so you're right. When it started, when the conversation started, I was already against Colin Cowherd.
You were.
And now?
Now.
Even more so.
I will say this. I would have Shai's an issue with it on game day. I would have an issue with it on game day.
Oh, wait, here's what I want to know. Is he wearing anything on his head at all on game day?
Oh, he'll wear the visor.
He has fantastic hair.
He does.
No reason to wear it. You're inside. Out there in Oxnard, here's one thing.
It's
your
hot.
Neck's going to get burnt.
Yeah.
You need to put on some sunscreen, but you can turn the hat. The way he wears it, he's covering up his neck. Kevin put a rag under his hat so that he could cover his neck, so his neck didn't get burnt. You saw Broadus take the roster and stick it underneath the headphones.
He has to, though.
Because that dome will get shiny.
That dome will get burnt to a crisp. We need to, I'll tell you what, during the break, I will find out. I'll look up some game day photos of Brian Schottenheimer to see if he is a hat guy on game day.
But hold on. He also said they were two wins, and he's deducting four wins from
this
team.
Well, he's a two-win team now. He's taken four away.
He's taken four away.
So he's got him as a six-win team
because of a backwards visor. Alex,
so bad.
That is, that's not something that.
I say it's foul that this is his take that he's going to lose. That we're going to lose the locker room and what have you because he's got a backwards visor on during a press conference in spring training.
Absolutely
in training camp.
Foul. Absolutely foul. Alex, do you agree? Or you wear hats even with your long hair?
I do.
Do you ever wear your hair down and hat on?
Yeah, that's how I usually rock.
Okay.
It amazed Kevin when I told him that, whenever I'm away from work, 90 to 95% of the time, the hair is down, and I've got a hat on top of it. 90 to 95% of the time. I just have it up because I have in-ears that I take in and out during commercial breaks and whatnot, and I don't want hair getting in my ears. Mm. That's why the hair gets tied up. So, yeah, I'm usually a hat guy. So... Yeah. I think this take is ridiculous, like most things he says. And I just wanted to be known also, there's a whole article about it on Awful Announcing that in this same episode of his show that he did, he had a whole Terry McLaurin segment where he got like five facts wrong about him. So like most things he says are just generally incorrect, whether it's factual or just opinion based. He's typically just wrong. And like Fred said, he's kind of just at that point where he can say whatever he wants and it doesn't
even
matter.
Can.
And good for him. That means he's done all the right things leading up to this point. Good for him. I have to be the voice of reason to say, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? I care about what happens on the football field. I don't care about a visor if it's pointing the right way. He could wear it sideways and I'd say, huh, cool. I don't care. As long as he's saying the right things, doing the right things, and winning football games, what does it matter to me? It does not affect me whatsoever.
From the 903, Tom Landry would never. They don't even let coaches wear suits anymore for the entire season. Wasn't it like you could wear a suit for one game?
And look, I get it. Tom Landry's a legend here. He would also be 100 years old now. Okay.
That's true.
Okay, my grandpa will be 96 in...
Congratulations.
Let's say the 5th. My grandpa will be 96 in 6 days. Okay, he's running a 5K on Saturday. I was supposed to run with him. I thought it was this past Saturday, not next Saturday. That said, yeah, there's a lot of things that my grandpa does at 96 years old that I wouldn't do.
Is he going to defeat you in this 5K run?
Oh, no. Unfortunately, I can't run in it because I got my times mixed up. But no, come on. He's 96, for God's sake.
Because you're fast or because he's old?
Both.
Okay. All right.
I can run a 9-minute mile right now, and I haven't run in over a year.
From the 214, y'all give this guy way too much credit, Schottenheimer, that is. He's totally unproven as a head coach and wins press conferences. I
agreed.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't say that. There's nothing. We haven't said anything that says that this guy is going to win all the games.
Did we not qualify the conversation of that we love what he's done outside of we don't know what we're going to get from him offensively,
yeah,
and he's
no
not known
yet.
As he's not. And again, that's my if you ask me today on August 5th, What is my biggest concern going into the 2025 Cowboys season? It's not about injuries. It's not about anything on the field. It's Brian Schottenheimer runs an offense like his dad, and we're in week six, and we're saying to ourselves, why the hell did you trade for George Pickens if you're averaging 150 yards passing a game?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that would be a question that we would definitely be asking at that point. After week one,
that's my greatest fear.
We still won't know what Schottenheimer is completely because there's going to be more to add to it. Yeah, summer for the 214. Belichick wore a cutoff hoodie for crying out loud.
But he wins.
But he won.
That's the difference.
So if Shotty wins,
Duke could wear a ski mask on the sideline and no one's going to care.
And only a ski mask.
A shiesty.
Guys, one of the things that I didn't get to, fantastic fair or foul there,
thanks,
Fred.
Sir.
I love it. One of the things I didn't get to earlier in Baseball Nuggets, the five series to watch this week, according to MLB.com, yes. I love knowing that the Rangers are one of them. However, absolutely, doesn't it feel like the Rangers are only one of them because of the Yankees? Like, it's not the national network. Somebody pointed out the Rangers never get pinned on MLB.com's Twitter or X, if that's what you want to call it. They never get pinned, but as soon as Josh Jung hits a walk-off against the Yankees, first thing right there, we're putting this at the top. And they did post it. They said, hey, look, the Rangers and Yankees series has a lot of things in it that are, you have the Yankees swept a three-game series from the Rangers in Brooklyn, or in the Bronx in May. All three games were close. The pitching set the tone. Pitching's not the same right now, though. And their hitting's not the same. Can the Rangers continue to gain ground, not on just them, but on Boston? Texas 10-5 since the All-Star break. Make that 11-5 because this was from yesterday. And this series could go a long way towards dictating Texas' postseason fate. And now Aaron Judge coming back. Dude, this might be one of the most, the signature series of all of baseball this week. Because A, it's the Yankees, and B, the Rangers climbing the mountain right now.
Could it be part of it that, and maybe this is a baseball thing as a whole, but who's the personality?
For the Rangers? Josh Jung and Adolis. Quite honestly. I mean, Evaldi actually is fantastic. He just doesn't do interviews. He'd rather be watching his teammates
bullpen sessions. But that's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay? Is
they have a team full of this, and I've heard this from Rangers front office this year at spring training. We have a team full of guys that want to come here, do their work, and go.
And go home.
And not go home, but go home so they can rest. But they want to fulfill what they have to do and play baseball. Like, that's it. And so you got a good point there.
I mean, Corey Seager isn't giving you any quips.
No, he's not doing any Micah Parsons podcasts.
He's not, okay?
Which I'm pretty cool with. I'm okay with it.
Here's what you got to ask yourself as a fan, okay? Do you want to be that team that's getting, and look, it would be fantastic because here's the thing. You got Bruce Bochy, all right, who you know, got that whole Southern drawl and has forgotten more about baseball than we'll ever know, and says great baseball 101 type stuff and has never said anything that you always says the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I always learn something from Bruce Bochy every time I hear him talk about Major League Baseball.
Looks like he might smell of bourbon and pine tar.
Absolutely, right? I mean, he probably has sandalwood, reeks of sandalwood, right? That said, okay, I mean, Jacob DeGrom's not a firecracker.
Right.
Okay, here's the other thing.
He won't talk to media.
Won't talk to media, okay? And then you have no closer.
Right.
Usually your closer's kind of like Josh Hader.
A wild card.
Okay? Josh Hader comes in, right? I mean, he's got a fine-ass wife, okay? He's all tatted up on the side of his arm, okay? And he's got that, you know, long hair. Yeah, thank me later.
Okay.
All right? But they don't have that here, okay? We don't have a closer like that. Yeah, I saw that. The look on your face told me all I needed to know, okay? So that's, on one hand, it's, hey, do you want that? Or, what TV wants to see? Or do you want the team that, again, as you alluded to, Corey, goes about its business, goes and wins games, and, you know, keep smiling the way you're smiling right now. Told you.
Hey, I always appreciate a teammate setting another teammate up for information they didn't know before.
That's it.
And that happened there. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. That's exactly how I feel. And tomorrow, when we get the chance to talk to Boach, that's one of the things I've been wanting to ask him. Do you want to be an underdog or do you want to be a front runner? Because I feel like he's a guy that's like, I like to surprise people. I like to. I like for them to. I like for them to not know about what we actually are until they're already in it, and then they're like, "Crap, how do we fix it?" And then the series is over. Right, I think that's how Bochy likes it done.
Well, and right, wrong, or indifferent. And look, I'm not trying to be adversarial when I say this. I mean, you're still viewed as the second best team in your own state.
Shut that down right now.
I mean, I'm just telling you.
Not in this city.
Because here's the reality of it. And you guys know this as well as anybody. All right? People love to hate the Astros. And baseball loves that. Ice Cube said what? Be the what you love to hate? Well, guess what? Baseball, the Astros are the team you love to hate.
You know what? I do appreciate that. We've had Ice Cube on a couple times.
Yeah.
And Jared Sandler set the foundation of today was a good day. Rangers win, Astros lose. Today was a good day. And I got a chance this year to ask Ice Cube, do you approve?
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely. Especially since he's a Dodgers fan and he hates the Astros anyway. Guys, on what is the single most memorable, biggest dream moment of your sports career? This means you doing something that you didn't get a chance to do, or you got a chance to do. It was a great moment for you. And I'll get into mine in just a moment. But here's something from the Portland Pickles.
Okay.
You ever heard of the Portland Pickles before?
I wouldn't know a Portland pickle if it was fried.
You know where they play?
Portland?
Good job, Fred. Look at this. Look at this. Somebody said he was just a meathead. No, he's not.
It was a trick question.
On Saturday, the Collegiate Summer Baseball Wooden Bat Team was holding its fan appreciation night at Walker Stadium in Portland. Good job, Fred.
Okay, I'll take it one step further. Maine or Oregon?
Oregon. I hope. Damn it. I didn't even know there was a Portland, Maine, honestly.
There is.
As part of the event, a fan was invited to get on the field and take a legitimate at-bat during the game.
Okay.
This dude stepped in the batter's box, and here's a little bit of audio on how his night went.
Payoff pitch! High fly ball! Left center field! Are you kidding me? Four letters, one word, gone!
Four letters, one word?
Four letters, one word, gone!
That might have been the best.
That's amazing. Who is that guy? We need to have him around. Now, on fan appreciation night, they invite this fan down on the field. He gets his chance to be part of the game. Here's what he did. First at bat, he draws a walk. Impressive. All right? That's awesome. Second, while he's there, steals second base.
This guy had to play baseball, right?
I do believe he ended up rounding third and scoring, okay. Sliding in home, slid into second, goes into the outfield, nabs a pop-up in the outfield. Then gets his opportunity at his second at bat and absolutely torches one. I mean, this was a bomb. And the kid looks like, yes, he looks like he may have played some baseball before in his career.
He had to have, right?
And I do wonder, was it a ringer that they threw out there?
Oh, that's a great question.
But I love these kinds of stories because every single one of
you
us.
You might be onto something
every
here.
Every single one of us knows.
He's a college player.
That whenever he is. Whenever we were standing in the front yard shooting hoops in our basket in the driveway, when a car drove down the street, you said, that could be a scout. I have to make this shot. Every one of us did. We knew there could be scouts out here today. We have to do that. And so I love the idea that you get this opportunity to shine, and you do shine. So he is a college player. You've looked this up. You found it out.
Well, you got me thinking. Well, first I looked up Portland Pickles because I wanted to see where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, because I wanted to make sure.
Was it Maine or Oregon?
No, it was. You were right. It was Oregon.
See?
So two for two for our boy Corey Majors over here. I'll tell you what. You'll really impress me if you can tell me what the name of the mascot is.
I'm going to say it's a pickle.
It is. What's his first name?
Dixie Dill.
Hold on. Now you got to be. You're close. You're close. It is
Kyle Yeomans.
Probably so.
Kyle Yeoman's the pickle. Dylan.
Dylan the pickle. The dill pickle.
Dylan the pickle.
What's the deal with him?
What is the deal with him?
But yeah, what is that one moment in your sports career, your sports history that happened? Now, this takes me back to a moment in mind that I was able to manufacture, because I had some really fun moments in high school sports that I just really adored and loved. But one night we were working the night show, and I just made the offhand comment that I could hit off of Mike Bassett. And I think I said something like, I get it 7 of 10 off of him.
Wow.
And Kevin was like, what? So what happens on this station whenever you make a declaration like that? Audio gets sent.
Yeah, it does.
Audio got sent to Lucius because he was on G-Bag at the time. And audio got played.
He's still on G-Bag.
During G-Bag. Well, no. Mike was on G-Bag at the time.
Oh, yeah, Mike was on G-Bag at the time. Okay.
They send the audio. They play it for G-Bag of the day. And Mike goes, you mark the time and place. Tell me when. And I said, okay. So I call in. We have this back and forth. And I'm thinking, we have a little baseball field right here. And there's North Dallas High School is right over there. I was like, we could go to a little park and do this. It'll be fun. Somehow, Mike Bassett is pitching in Dirk Nowitzki's charity game and talks Dirk Nowitzki into letting us do this before the game.
Wow.
So not only that, like we go out there and before that game, they had some Special Olympians playing as well.
Yeah.
And so Mike goes, hey, Corey, do you really want this? You get 10 cuts at me. Do you really want that? And I was like, all right, let's cut a deal here. You can only throw fastballs. And he was like, all right, fine. So he says, I'll only throw fastballs. So we worked this out where we were like, all right. And so I get to the stadium. I'm practicing all week. Guess what happens right before I'm in the batting cages. My bat, the tip, the knob, the top of the bat pops off. I don't have a bat to use now. And so he says, you can use my wooden bat. All right, that's fine. He says, let's go to the batting cage. So he's walking me up to the batting cage and we're whack, whack. And he goes, that's a pro player right there. And I was like, how can you tell? He's like, you can tell by the sound.
Right.
We get up there, it's Pudge. All right.
Just ripping cuts at the batting cage.
Mike says, let's go down into the clubhouse and just kind of hang out until everything has started. Get down there. Pudge walks by, puts his hand on my knee. How's it going? Michael Finley's down there. Rick Carr. He's got me in this moment of, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by all my favorite superstars right now. We go out to the field, get out onto the field. He's like, let's do some talk. I need to warm up. We're throwing the ball. All the players are coming by talking with us and everything. Chuck Greenberg walks by, almost hit him with a fastball out there. Having a great time. And then the nerves start to build.
Absolutely.
Because now I realize there's 8,000 people in the stadium getting ready to watch me either look like a fool or do something special.
Now, you said you could hit 7 out of 10?
Something like that, yeah. I ended up hitting 4.
So I
look at it, and I've always said this since then. I hit 400 off pro pitches.
Yeah, you did.
I hit 4. First pitch was a shot, too, by the way.
Okay.
All right. By the way.
Exit velo, 90 plus?
Sure. Yeah.
Kilometers.
I wasn't even in good shape at this time, either. I get my fourth swing in. Mike throws a curveball.
Yeah, he did.
I throw my back out. I'm dead serious because I was not expecting it. I take this cut back. I felt it right then. I went, ugh. And I think I made contact on a few more after that, and it was done. I hit 400 off pro pitching. That's where I stand.
First guy since Ted Williams.
It was an awesome moment. But I'd had plenty of chances to play high school stadiums around DFW, but I'd never hit in front of 8,000 people like that before. And it was an awesome experience. I still tell Mike to this day, that moment was one of the coolest things I've gotten to do. The only thing that would be better than that moment would be probably getting to throw a first pitch out at a Rangers game.
Yeah.
Like that would be, that is the apex of little Corey, red hot Rangers, growing up on the T-ball team, growing up here in DFW. That's the apex for me would be that moment. So that was it. And Mike really, the fact that he helped me do that.
Oh, 100%.
We weren't even on the same show.
Right,
He was just like, hey, let's see if we can do this. So that was a lot of fun for me.
What did he get his fastball up to against you?
I think like 88.
Okay.
Yeah, he was like, that's as much. He's like, I'm not getting much more than that. And I was like, that's fine, dude.
Which is,
that's fine.
I mean, come on.
That's fine.
I was going to say, I'll take that all day, every day.
From the 817 student teacher basketball game senior year, coach that cut me, guarded me. I put 40 on him.
Yeah,
that's from Dustin in Fort Worth.
For Dustin.
I thought it was only me that had done that, thinking a scout might see me. No, I I think all of us did it.
Yeah, you were thinking maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, winning the high school state championship back-to-back in Kansas from 07-09 and being ranked nationally by Max Preps was their apex moment right there.
There you go.
By the way, somebody says that that player is a current D3 player.
Yeah, no, he is.
In Idaho.
Yeah, and he was a ringer. They signed him to a contract for the rest of the year
it's
after that.
It's still fun.
It's still cool. And I mean, it's got us talking about the Portland Pickles.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and think about this. If you were at that game that night and you saw this, you think you're watching the show. You're thinking you're watching something amazing. From the 5-1-2 50-yard receiving touchdown in my last high school game ever, played tight end. That's from Eric in Austin. And then from the 6-8-2, I struck out Aubrey Huff, former MLB player in high school baseball. Nice moment right there. So yeah, everybody has. Do you have a special sports moment in your career?
Man, look, I think just getting through search and rescue swimmer school, being pigeon-toed, was unique in its own right. So if anybody knows what it's like being pigeon-toed and wearing fins, not easy.
I just got a text from Derek Holland. When are you facing me? I'll definitely be tougher than Mike.
Oh.
You tell me the time and date, homie.
Yeah.
I will be there.
I'm excited.
And I also need a new bat, so we'll have to work on that as well.
Bring a bat, too. I'm sure Derek's got one.
Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for the C Block, ladies and gentlemen. We'll do that next on The Fan.